Audio Gravity, 7th of August 2009. I hope you're having a really good day wherever you are in the world. First link today is silverstripe.org. You might have used a CMS, a content management system. You might be using WordPress, it's the most popular one. You might be using Movable Type, you might be using Blogger. But I always like to look out and see what else is out there, just because it's sometimes better to use something that doesn't have all of that extra stuff in. You know, we're talking right down minimal, first person on a computer, never used the computer before. Something like WordPress, even though it is easy and has an easy way to install and log in and add stuff, it might still even be a little bit of overkill for people. So I've been looking at Silverstripe, which looks like it comes predefined with various templates from e-commerce to blogging to Flickr to various galleries. And it looks nice. And the best thing about it is open source. And if you are a developer, there's a framework called Sapphire, which you can bolt onto it and code in PHP 5 to add elements in that you might want to put into Silverstripe itself. Next link today is over on Astutio, not just a studio, they call themselves, Slick Map CSS. Really like the idea, the concept behind this. It gives you this visual, almost like mind map layout of nice CSS boxes of buttons and navigation. And it's a really nice visual way of walking through a site and its sitemap by literally applying a style sheet to certain elements. So for instance, their text is simple style sheet for displaying finished sitemaps directly from HTML, unordered list navigation, suitable for most websites, accommodating up to 3 levels of page navigation, additional utility links, and can easily be customized to meet your own individual needs, branding, or style preferences. It's great. It means you can get together with a team of people who might be overseeing management of a site. You can say to somebody, right, you're dealing with the services division, see all the pages underneath that. And it's just great. Instead of assuming people in the team are working on a page or they know that there's a problem with the page, you can get together on a face-to-face meeting and present this. And it's built from the sitemaps. So, you know, it's not a case of having to do it. It's all literally on the fly. So you can easily revise with clients if they want to move pages somewhere else or add a page onto something. Next link today is on seasonsapp.com. Seasons, eat fresher. Their tagline is, nowadays we're used to importing fruits and vegetables being available in all year round, but by following the natural seasons, you can experience a greater variety of produce at the very peak of freshness, just as nature intended. Okay, I don't think I have that much time in my life to sit in a restaurant and open up my iPhone and just to check if certain fruits, vegetables, lettuce, mushrooms, herbs and nuts are at their freshest. But I'm sure there is people in the world that have such a life. And for those kinds of people, they will not mind paying £1.19 for this application. A bit of overkill, really. I do like the graphics. I do like the presentation. I do like the way they put it together. Yeah, not really for me. Next link is over on skybound.ca. They've got an application for the PC called Stylizer, which just looks exactly like CSS Edit 2 and Coda on the Mac, which I find to be, you know, two of the best CSS editing applications for the Mac. They are making a Mac version of this. Like I say, it's a PC version of the Mac stuff that I use, and they've got a real-time editor. They do make a very, very bold claim at the bottom. There's a guy called Richard learned CSS in 3 hours, which I find quite legendary, really. From image replacements to floated elements, absolute positioning to sprites and clear fixes. With the help of Stylizer, Richard learned all this from scratch in 3 hours. Next link is, this one is quite cool actually, and this adds on to my whole theory about where I think the iPhone and Apple are going to. Programmerfish.com have this blog report up that they've noticed that there is a patent been filed by Apple talking about an authentication mechanism based on a key that is actually inside, physically inside the device and can be communicated remotely. So this suggests that it might be RFID. Now, that if this is RFID, what is interesting about this is you can imagine it being used in libraries or in hospitals for bookings, you know, to get your details straight from your phone to somebody's database, or you could literally be walking into, well, anywhere, shop or place, and have that additional transaction information using RFID. And I'm sure there's going to be more and more applications that use it. This is pretty cool, and it sort of builds on my theory of Apple are not trying to build the ultimate phone. I think they're trying to build the ultimate remote control. And I think if you can imagine walking into a library and it downloading you the maps, the visuals of how you get upstairs, where your book is, you know, where the desk is, or you know, maybe you select if you're handicapped and where the, you know, the elevators are, or all that sort of stuff, all that ambient stuff that you take for granted can be delivered to your phone. Your phone literally reprograms itself depending on its geolocation and talking to RFID units. I feel that the iPhone 3GS was really a middleware product in terms of they've got something new on the desk. It runs a lot faster. I'm sure they're going to tweak it even more. I can see an iPhone being a unibody next because they've got the prefab to make that now. Interesting. I'll be really, really looking at this with great detail over the next couple of months to see if they do decide on bringing an iPhone with RFID in. For people who have got iPod Touches or thinking about getting iPod Touches, hold off because they're probably going to release one with a camera in it, I would say, fairly soon. And finally, the last link, and typical in DEF CON fashion, if you don't know what DEF CON is, it's a black hat security conference that's in Las Vegas every year. And although Apple have released this patch for the iPhone SMS vulnerability, a hacker demonstrated a way that a key logging application, a piece of malware, could be installed in the firmware of Apple's keyboards itself. It turns out that the Apple keyboards both have a small amount of RAM and flash memory, and it's plenty of room to run a small keylogging program. And because Apple's keyboard updater is apparently unencrypted, doesn't need to be validated, it's not very difficult for such an exploit to be injected into the keyboard. Big deal. At the moment, they're saying it's not a big issue because of the way that update is working, updating the keyboard. But they're saying that it could easily be used to retrieve passwords and stuff. So I more than anything, I know it sounds iffy, but I actually like the thinking that's gone into that somebody's gone, well, you know, let's see what this keyboard does. How does it update the keyboard? Somebody must have saw the update for the keyboard and thought, well, it must be writing something in there, and has managed to find a way to get in there and store a little program. So I'll be interested in following that as well. That's it for today. I'll speak to you all tomorrow. Cheers. Bye.